Hey there, Leaders Huddle. Today we are discussing a topic that frequently doesn't get discussed enough in our commissioning sources and basic branch courses. Most of the education and training cadets and bulk students receive is geared towards preparing them for platoon leader assignments. In reality, most of us will spend at least half of our time in staff positions as junior officers. In today's episode, we interview two officers who offer sound advice for excelling in your staff assignments and using them as preparation for key and developmental positions. This is the Leaders Huddle Podcast, number 6, Making the Most of Your Staff Assignments. Welcome to the Leaders Huddle Podcast. Through this podcast, our goal is to educate and inspire the current generation of company-grade officers through advancing the discussion of leadership, professionalism, and building high-performing organizations. I am Captain David Wirt, your host. With me is Captain Micah Klein, our lead editor here at Leaders Huddle. He's spending some of his time co-hosting me with for tonight's show.
Thanks for having me in this role, Dave. Definitely appreciate it.
You know, Micah, as a logistics officer, I'm sure you have plenty of experience and sound advice to offer our listeners on excelling in staff assignments, and we'll get to it. But first, let's welcome our guests. With us today, we are excited to introduce two guests who share a common passion of mentoring and coaching junior officers through their various staff assignments. Captain Joe Woods, a field artillery officer, whose assignments include company fire support officer time in the 1st Infantry Division and battery command with the 82nd Airborne Division, Airborne. His staff time includes assistant S3 duties in the 82nd Airborne, battalion fire support officer and deputy operations officer duties while in 5th Special Forces Group. Joe, welcome to the show today. I'm really glad you can come on with us.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to the discussion.
Captain Kyle Stillwell, a returning guest, is an armor officer whose green tab assignments include serving as a tank and infantry platoon leader with the 3rd Infantry Division in Iraq and as an HHC commander at Joint Base Lewis-McChord. His key staff assignments include 18 months as a battalion S4 and 6 months as a Division G3 operations planner at JBLM. Kyle, thanks again for coming on. Really appreciate it. And you ready for tonight's discussion?
Thanks for having me back, Dave. Looking forward to it.
All right, guys, so to provide a little context to our listeners, I asked you all to list your total staff time and some assignments. So I'll start off. I've served twice as assistant S3, so a total of 14 months, 8 months as a battalion maintenance officer, and 10 months as a S4. So that's, I think, that comes out to like 32 months, right? 32 months out of 8 years on staff. Micah, so you've been a SPO officer for 21 months total, once as a battalion AS3 for 12 cumulative months, 9 while deployed, and you're currently serving as an operations officer here in your current position at Caldol. Kyle, I'll let you go ahead with your assignments.
So I had 23 months as a battalion S4, split between Fort Stewart and Afghanistan, and then another 6 months as a division future plans officer at Fort Lewis.
And then, Joe, why don't you give us some of your staff time background?
Yeah, sure. So I've had the opportunity to be an assistant S3 for 6 months while I was at Fort Bragg. I was a battalion FSO for 22 months at Fort Campbell. And then I was the deputy operations officer for 4 months during the forward deployment.
All right. Thanks, guys. So we have all heard the sayings about being, quote-unquote, stuck on staff, or that staff time is purgatory. We are here today to offer counter-arguments to that statement and explore how junior leaders in our Army can develop their leadership skills and help improve the organizations while they're on staff. Through this week's episode, we want to provide our listeners some insight for excelling in their staff position, contributing to their unit's success, and using staff time as preparation for their green tab leadership roles.
Yeah, Joe, so I've got the first question here, which is for those newly minted lieutenants out there who are after years of training and their platoon leader assignment are now assigned as a staff officer or an assistant staff officer while they wait for their platoon to open up. What advice do you have for those officers in particular? Specifically, how can they get plugged into the battalion and make a difference? And what are their opportunities to learn?
So first of all, time on staff is an excellent opportunity to assess the climate of the unit that you've recently joined. As a lieutenant, you'll see daily interaction and potentially participate in some of those interactions between the battalion commander, primary staff officers, and senior NCOs, those mediums being training meetings, maintenance meetings, command and staff, etc. You'll be able to better gauge the commander's priorities and understand their approach to leading the organization through that perspective. Additionally, you'll have unchecked access to each company as a supporting element and can also assess their strengths and weaknesses. Understanding that eventually you'll go down to the companies and join them, you can kind of pre-position yourself based on the work that you're doing. Time on staff is also an opportunity to see how systems work within the unit, and this will help when you move down to take those platoons or become an XO. You'll be able to see how the battalion processes range requests, ammo requests, synchronization and predicting training schedules, and the maintenance process and property accountability. Use your time on staff to begin building your network of lieutenant peers, as they'll be your primary reference down the road. You will not be expected to know everything, but expect to work hard and do a lot of data mining to find the answers. As a personal example, I moved from Fort Riley as a second lieutenant, went to career course, went to Fort Bragg. Immediately upon arrival, I had to begin planning a joint forcible entry exercise or an airfield seizure as an assistant S3, and I quite honestly had no idea what I was doing. I needed to learn on the fly and was humbled by having to ask significant questions to various staff entities across my battalion. The need to ask these hard questions was a great opportunity to begin forming relationships and learning a new skill set. This also tested my ability to data mine to see what products currently existed and forced me to fill the gaps with my own research. Another quick example was when I went as a battalion FSO, I undertook the responsibilities of a deputy operations officer for a forward deployed special operations headquarters. This was a significant departure from normal artillery jobs as I managed operations in multiple countries with small teams of highly skilled individuals. I quickly needed to learn how to operate in a combined, multinational, and interagency environment in order to be effective.
That's awesome, Joe. Thanks. So I've got one follow-up question. One piece of advice or question that I get often as a company commander was, what is the one best piece of advice that you would give me for making a good impression as a lieutenant serving on a staff to try and get, you know, one of those platoons? So what would that be?
I think the best piece of advice I could give to a lieutenant currently on staff looking to take a platoon is, in any of the interactions that you have with those company commanders, is be very direct and clear in your communication. They'll begin assessing you from the time they start talking to you, and eventually the battalion commander is going to hold, you know, for lack of a better term, a draft of lieutenants. You know, when that staff starts to empty itself out and lieutenants need to move down to the companies, you know, you want to have those interactions be positive, so that your name is at the top of that list whenever that comes around. Thanks, Micah.
All right, moving on to our next question. So Kyle, as a lieutenant, one of my battalion executive officers told me, the best staff officers make great commanders, and great commanders are great staff officers. And I think that can also work for platoon leaders, that leadership skills aren't mutually exclusive. So as someone who believes that skill sets and competencies of staff and green tab assignments are not mutually exclusive, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on that statement and share with our audience how you use your time as a battalion S4 to prepare you for company command.
Well, Dave, I couldn't agree with your battalion XO more. The true nature of a leader shines through when they're on staff just as much as it does when they're in command. Like Joe mentioned earlier, your staff time gives you the opportunity to identify strengths and weaknesses across your formation. Going beyond that, though, it gives you the opportunity to apply resources and leadership to help your organization bridge that gap. By helping other parts of the organization within your lane and expertise, you're able to have an impact on the team and solidify your role as a leader who creates solutions. Similarly, time on staff really drives home the lessons of teamwork. It's not always your mission that's going to be the priority for the organization. So you need to recognize that and realize that you need to be a team player. Your staff section may have a chance to catch its breath at some point while your counterparts are sucking. Offer to take things off of their plate, like taking staff duty or taskings away from their shop, and then explain to your shop why you're doing it. Explain to them the long game and how you're helping the team. It'll be greatly appreciated by the other shop, and it'll help your shop to gain some perspective on increasing the effectiveness of the organization. It's the same thing that you would wind up doing in combat if your sister companies were taking a beating. Start that cycle of cooperation with your teams now.
Yeah, Kyle, thanks. I really think the aspect you mentioned about teamwork is really important, especially for the post-command captains, where they get sort of cohorted together and they're on the same command slate. And you usually get grouped as a staff section together and then come in command around the same time. So building those relationships early is really important. And also highlighting the fact of building the network, like Joe mentioned earlier. So I'm going to hand off to Micah for our next question.
All right, Joe, we're going to keep it coming here. So as a battalion staff officer, you're the conduit between the company level and the brigade staff or external agencies. So would you talk to our audience about the importance of developing effective communication and then, of course, fostering relationships both laterally and vertically across the chain of command, specifically when it comes to coordinating for resources for supporting units?
Sure. So you'll continue to see a trend here with the discussion of teamwork. However, in many cases, as either an assistant or a primary staff officer, it's extremely important to realize that you're speaking on the behalf of your commander, executive officer, or operations officer. The conversations you hold outside the battalion are reflections of your own organization through your professionalism. The statement of the obvious is to never badmouth goings-on within your unit, but to always appear to be an individual seeking solutions, regardless of whatever internal turmoil exists. Along those lines, realizing the authority placed on your shoulders, the ability to be a team player and to foster productive relationships with peers helps solidify your reputation within your own battalion as a go-to individual. If your boss gives you the opportunity to make decisions, make them quickly and clearly, ensuring that they are aligned with your commander's intent. Taking advantage of these opportunities to interact outside of your parent organization, it is important to understand that there are areas in which you may not be an expert and you must rely on the input of others to help shape your boss's plan. Ask questions of those individuals because you'll be expected to know the answers when you brief your findings. As I mentioned before, being able to ask the right questions in the spirit of professional growth is admirable and makes you a more desirable counterpart.
That's great. I especially love the part where you said that you're speaking on behalf of your commander. And you know the importance of communication. When you talk via email, understanding that you're representing the organization and you're representing what the organization values. So when you're talking with brigade and battalion staff, or brigade staff or higher for that matter, understanding talking appropriately over email is something that definitely reflects on your organization as a whole. It says a lot about it. So yeah, thanks for sharing that. That's great.
So Kyle, that same XO I mentioned earlier had a hard and fast rule that as staff officers, we work to make the company commander successful and support the meeting the battalion commander's intent. FM6O explicitly states that staffs have their primary responsibility to support the commander, assist subordinate commands and units, and inform units and organizations. Sometimes it is easy to fall in the trap of treating subordinate units as the enemy and blaming higher for failures to communicate tasks or missions in a timely manner. Since most of our listeners are at the battalion level below, I want to ask you to advise our listeners on how to avoid this trap and actually facilitate the connection of supporting subordinate unit success while meeting the commander's intent.
I think I'm really beginning to admire your old XO, Dave. I had one now very successful boss as a battalion XO who told me the same thing. He even went as far as to say that staff officers did not have the opportunity to tell commanders and subordinate units at any level no, to include himself. So he held himself to that rule and held us to a high standard that it was our job to figure out a way to support the subordinate units. And it was a pretty high bar, but we tried to achieve it every day. Your old boss's statements all tie back to a can-do attitude and maintaining relationships. It's all about being a professional leader. In our line of work, we have to get the mission done. Leaders want you to exhaust every possibility before you can come back and say that you can't complete the mission within their intent. Even then, it's your job to propose a plausible alternative. On the note of that trap where you're blaming subordinates or looking at your higher headquarters for all the problems, it's something that seems to naturally occur. It's the fundamental attribution bias, where people naturally conclude that if something's right, if it's great, it's because I did it. And if it's wrong, it's because somebody else did it. So as leaders, we have to break that habit and be constantly aware of it. In the military, that type of attitude is toxic, and it degrades cohesion within your organizations, and it hurts communication. So what can you do about it? Well, first, look yourself in the mirror and honestly reflect. Think about when in the past you may have fallen victim to it, where you were blaming another organization for things that you might have been able to fix. Next, look at how you can change your behavior and make a commitment to how you can fix it in your organization. And then finally, when you do see it pop up in your unit or you start to feel it yourself, start to tactfully ask questions to determine what it is that you can do to bridge the gap. It'll make the unit better. If nothing else, recognize that at some point you're likely to go down to that unit or get assigned to that higher headquarters, or be replaced by members of it when you leave. What you said will remain as a part of your legacy and follow you throughout your career.
Hey, Kyle, I think that last piece you just added is incredibly important, and I try and coach cadets and lieutenants on that. Your reputation does follow you. You do have a reputation capital that your ability to influence is really based on your reputation. And as an engineer, I really do like the metaphor of bridging the gap and asking the tough questions. One thing that honestly would drive me kind of crazy as a primary staff officer is when the other staff officers would just hit that first wall and stop there. And if I could really sum up my primary characteristic or attribute for a very efficient young staff officer, it's taking a proactive initiative to really solve those problems. The solutions aren't going to be there. You just got to keep asking questions and solve the problems to make your subordinate unit successful. Mike, I'm going to hand over the mic to you, and you're going to ask our last question back to Kyle.
All right, Kyle. So I got a little bit more technical question for you this time. So with your extensive time on staff, I'm interested in knowing how you practice knowledge management. So specifically keeping all the various data and information that you received on a daily basis organized. And to our earlier question, how did you use knowledge management systems to create shared understandings throughout your organization?
Thanks, Micah. So for a little bit more on knowledge management for some of the newer listeners, knowledge management really refers to where and how you organize your orders, your products, and your documents. It's how an organization can effectively store their information so hopefully you can access what's already been done before and not have to reinvent the wheel. A shout out to Caldol and Company Command because they're really the ones that first introduced me to effective knowledge management. So rather than having to learn how to do my first M320 range or M203 range at the time, I got on the site and looked and saw an 80 and 90% solution for all of my products right off the bat. So how do you make it better in your organization? Well, it's going to take a lot of work, attention to detail, and discipline across the whole team. At your level, you might not be able to influence a whole lot in the restructuring or establishment of a broken knowledge management system. However, you can help by asking questions about the system, trying to understand how it works so that you can work within it and navigate it the best that you can. And the last part of it is be a contributor. Find some way to ensure that all the products that you're putting into or that you're creating on your own are going into a system. Start from day one in your new job and start writing down a list of everything that you wish that was covered in your RIP, everything that you wish that the guy who you're taking over for had thought of or had experienced. It might not be that leader's fault. It might just not have occurred during their time there. But if you've got an effective knowledge management system in place, over a period of 3 or 4 years, you tend to wind up covering all your bases and seeing everything that your unit tends to do.
That's great, Kyle. You jogged a few things in my memory. One is specifically don't recreate the wheel, right? Someone has done what you are doing right now before. The Army is a learning organization, and learn from our mistakes in the past and don't make the same ones again. Same thing with staff time, right? Someone has written that op order before, and it is out there. The CONOP is out there. And as a staff officer, you're being paid to think. So use your knowledge management assets and accomplish your mission and help your organization for sure.
The only other thing that I would add to that, Micah, is that know what's out there. Everybody that's listening to this is obviously reaching out and trying to find additional resources to get better. Find out what other resources are out there. If you can get access to the brigade portal, get access to the battalion portal, friends that are in other units that are on the same post or different posts, reach out to them. And by just exploring in those portals, I'm sure that you'll open up a whole different line of thinking from your own.
All right, guys, so we got some rapid-fire questions and a new one at the end that I'll be interested to hear your answer. So I want to ask both of you, what is your favorite military history or leadership book, or you can include both, that you have ever read and why? Joe, you first.
All right, for me, hands down, it's Once an Eagle. Provides an excellent perspective on styles of leadership, both favorable and unfavorable, and how they're perceived by soldiers.
Kyle?
For me, it's Message to Garcia. It's about when you get a mission that you have to find a way to make it happen. You might have to climb mountains. You might have to go to places that you've never been before. But at the end of the day, you got to find a way to make it happen because people are counting on you.
So I admit, I finally just finished Once an Eagle over spring break back in March. It took me like 3 months to get through. And I've read Message to Garcia three times, and I've learned something new every time. I think those are great recommendations. All right, second question. Most developmental staff assignment for you personally or professionally? Joe?
I experienced the most growth during my time as a deputy operations officer during this my time with special operations guys. It placed me in an area far beyond my comfort zone and truly made me earn my paycheck.
Kyle?
For me, as much as I enjoyed my time as the S4 for a battalion, the Division G3 Plans Officer really helped to demonstrate how systems and relationships really make organizations function. If fine-tuned and well-maintained, the organization's rocking. But if it's not, the subordinate units suffer.
And Mike, I might as well ask you as well since you're here.
I'd have to say the SPO Trans time, and that's because the support transportation or the SPO office is a brigade level asset. When you're TACON and you're forward deployed, you're a brigade asset. When you're back at home, you're a battalion asset. And so you really learn the intricacies of being a member of the battalion staff and the brigade staff, and also how to manage, you know, that power struggle when you are back at home with the BSB commander wanting to control you versus the brigade commander thinking that you're his or her asset. So definitely SPO.
Man, I've definitely got some scar tissue from my unit movement days, and I really despise TC Ames, but I definitely learned a lot from being a unit movement officer for NTC in Iraq and spending hours in the sun waiting for equipment to arrive at Yermo. But great, gave me a bigger perspective for Army logistics. All right, third question: best professional advice you have ever received from a former mentor or former boss? Joe.
As it pertains to staff, diligent staff work earns you your next job. Career advice: nobody watches out for your career as well as you do, and branch doesn't always know best.
Nicely said, Joe. Kyle?
I'd say take charge of your development. Seek honest feedback from your peers, from your subordinates, and from your leaders, and honestly listen. Assess your strengths and weaknesses and make a plan to make yourself better. Develop your subordinates, but teach them how to take charge of their own development too.
And Micah?
Yeah, mine would be lead how you want to be led, right? So treat people how you want to be treated. It may sound like something that's really basic, but sometimes we forget about it. And the the most important piece of advice I ever got was probably to be humble, right? Being a humble leader when you're in those positions, for sure.
I want to highlight some references really that we drew some content. One is the Military Leader blog by Drew Stedman, specifically two guest articles, the first titled 12 Tips for Showing Leadership During Your Staff Time by James King, and the second, Seven Ways to Fail as a Staff Officer by Nate Stratton. As we were developing the content for this episode a couple months ago, I came across these articles and I thought, man, these guys are gonna beat me to the punch. So we tried to elaborate on some of these things. Definitely go take the 6 to 8 minutes to read those articles. It'll change your perspective on being a staff officer. Second reference, FM60, Commander and Staff Organizations and Operations, can be downloaded from Army Knowledge Online or Army Doctrine Publications. It's your baseline for everything being a staff officer. And thirdly, the Military Writers Guild has plenty of articles and blog posts about being a staff officer. So in closing, I want to thank you guys again for coming to the podcast. You're always welcome. Really appreciate the time and the content you guys brought. I hope our listeners got a lot of value. For our next episode, we tackle every commander's favorite topic of property and that four-letter acronym, CSDP. Specifically, we are producing a short list of actionable tips to help property owners build a stellar command supply discipline program in their units. You can connect with Leaders Huddle podcast on iTunes and now Google Play. If you like the podcast, please subscribe, rate, and leave a comment. We want to hear from you, our listeners, on the topics you would like to discuss. So please email the podcast group and or connect with us on Facebook and Twitter at both the Company Command and CCL Twitter and Facebook feeds. Until next time, remember, elevating your performance and unleashing your potential as a leader takes intentionality and the humility to learn from others. The views expressed in the Leaders Huddle podcast are the opinions of the hosts and guests. The discussion shared here does not represent the official position of the United States Military Academy or the U.S. Army.